Well, amen. We're off to a great start, right? Instead of saying play, I said pray, right? Pray for me, amen. I woke up this morning with vertigo, and I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I thought I was going to have to call Brother Morgan to fill in for me this morning, and he might still have to. We'll see how it goes. You never know. It comes and goes when it wants to, so prayerfully we'll get through it this morning. We'll see what happens. Anyhow, I was... like to share with you something that was dear to me, dear to my heart and my life. My son, Jonathan, graduated Friday night from college. He was a valedictorian from Bible College over there at Emmaus Baptist College in Bradenton. And so that was a proud moment to see him follow through with that. You know, a lot of us, we start a lot of things, but finish them and it's something that difference, you know. So anyhow, I was really proud of him. So be in prayer for him and see where God's going to direct him and lead him to now that he's come to the end of that road. And we'll see where that takes him from here. Anyhow, I was just wanted to share that with you. It was a proud moment. Well, open your Bible. You can open them to the book of Romans. You can go ahead and open your Bible to chapter 10. I'm going to read to you a verse out of Psalms, chapter 11, and verse 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's kind of where we're living today, isn't it? The foundations are being torn down. They're being destroyed, even within the church itself. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about this morning. I heard something last week, and it just bothers me when I hear this. Somebody said something about they're not 100% sure they'd go to heaven. And it doesn't matter what the reason is. Whatever the reason is, a Christian has doubt. Now, we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, most Christians at some point in their life have doubt. No matter how strong a Christian you are. You know, the biggest problem we have is ourselves. You know, we kind of get in our own way. And when that old mind and that old brain gets to ticking and gets to thinking, especially if you get some downtime and let that old brain get to thinking on you, it'll think thoughts that it ought not be thinking. And that is one of them. And folks, that's nothing but the devil sitting on your shoulder trying to steal your glory. Salvation is eternal. That's why we call it eternal security. It's eternal. It's forever. It's not something that you pick up today and lose tomorrow. And I was looking through some commentaries and whatnot, and it amazes me at how many so-called Christians today believe that you can lose your salvation. How can you lose something that you had absolutely nothing to do with getting? Christ did it all on the cross of Calvary. He paid your sin debt, 100%, lock, stock, and barrel. It is a free gift, and the only thing that you can do is to reach out and take it. Outside of that, you play no part in it. So how can you lose something that you had no part in getting? You ask for a gift, and if is he going to take that gift back from you? No, but that's our mindset, and that goes all the way back to the beginning, doesn't it? We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden where Satan lied to Eve, tricked her, whole half-truths. You know, and Adam fell right along with that. And they fell into sin. And that sin curse passed on to you and I. Go back to Genesis with me for just a moment. Won't take but a second. We got a half an hour or so. Go back to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man... in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Do you understand that? Do you see right there what took place? God created man in his image. Adam had a son in his image, in his likeness. What was Adam at that point? He was a sinner. He had sinned against God. So that sin curse was passed on to the son and right on down to us. And we live with that daily. I know some of you give me that strange look. Go to Romans. Go to Romans. You should already be in Romans, right? Chapter 10. I believe that's where I said to go to originally. And let me see here. I might have to back you up a couple chapters here. Yeah, look at Romans chapter 6. Let's see what it says here. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being recognized, we shall be saved by his life. And not only, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon what? Who? All men, for that all have sinned. So that sin curse passed right on to you and I, right on down the line, and it's still passing on. So today, it's natural. We'll go right back to a child. When you're raising up a child gets big enough to start talking. Do you have to teach that child to tell a lie? No. It's automatic, isn't it? Because that's the sin curse. Well, you understand, you and I today as adults, we still live in that same sin curse body as that child that told that lie. So it is natural for us in our minds and in our bodies, in that sin curse body that we live in, it's natural for us to always look at the bad. Always picking out the bad things. Have you noticed? You get a crowd together, what people start doing? Start picking, don't they? Start looking. Look at that person. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. Always want to pick out the bad thing. That's the sin nature that we're stuck with. That same sin nature has got you in your mind doubting your salvation. At one time or another, we all go through that. But we don't have to. There's a way to get out of that. We'll get into that. There's a way to stop doing that. And how do we stop doing that? How do we stop getting that doubt? We get in the Word. We get in the Bible. We walk and talk and pray with our God constantly. That's what we got to do. And if we don't do that, how's that old song go? You read, you grow. If you don't read your Bible, you what? Shrink. There's a lot of truth to that, folks. And if we're not reading our Bibles and we're not praying and walking with the Lord as we should, these doubts are going to be more and more prevalent in our lives. No matter how long you've been saved, you can still have that doubt. You say, well, is it going to stop me from going to heaven? Nope, you're still saved. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll stop you from telling somebody else that they can go to heaven. Because when you don't have assurance of your salvation, you're not going to share that with somebody else. In order for you to share something, you have to be confident in what you're sharing, or you're not going to share it. And look at the world today. There's been a lot of Christians throughout the years that have not been confident, haven't they? Because we certainly haven't been getting the gospel out the way we ought to. And when I was looking up some of this stuff, it amazed me at how many churches believe that you can lose your salvation. You believe that you can get it back. Some of them even believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. It's just all types of foolishness. And I'm like, how can this possibly be? And this is the Baptist church I'm talking about. Baptist churches across America. Why is that? It's because the foundation is being torn down daily. And where's it being tore down at? It's being tore down how? By the television, by the radio, social media, mom and dad, schools, jobs, and even in our churches. You say, well, how, when I say mom and dad, that'll hit a button. Well, how does mom and dad have anything to do with tearing down the foundation? Let me just give you some quick, easy examples that you'll know, you'll understand. If you tell your child, you bring them to church here on Sunday, you sit here and you amen the preacher, and let's just say he's preaching on standards today. he's preaching on what a lady should wear, or he's preaching on a man should wear a tie, or he's preaching on you shouldn't be drinking, or whatever the case may be. And then you go home and you state the same thing. Well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. And then you do it. What are you telling your child? For example, if I tell my sons, raising my boys up, that look, when you go to church, you need to wear a suit and tie. Be respectful in God's house. Right? And then I don't do that. So if I don't do that, what did I just tell my child? I just told my child it really doesn't matter. You can say one thing and do another. And that applies to anything in your life. You know, you tell a child that you should pray before you eat. And then every time he catches you, you're eating, but you hadn't prayed. So you're telling your child that it does not matter. And people say, well, I don't do that. Look around us. It's evident. Everywhere you go, you can see the evidence of this. So we can come in here and play church on Sunday, but what do we do Monday through Saturday? See, those are the things that's going to make our children are seeing every day. They see the way we live our lives. That's tearing down the foundation of this book. What is the foundation? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all started for us, right? We believe in salvation through the Lord Jesus. Well, if we tear down the book and we tear down the laws that's in the book, then we're tearing down the foundations of Christ. We're tearing down the foundations of this book. And there's over 300 different types of Bibles now. I have no idea. And all of them are based off the King James Version. Why not just read the King James? You know, I heard a message the other day on the radio. I was out of reach of our radio, so I picked up another Christian station. And a man was preaching a message, really, really good message. But he was preaching out of NIV. Every time he'd read a verse or quote a scripture, it was out of the NIV, and it just rubs you kind of the wrong way. As soon as you hear it, you know it's NIV. And the whole point of his message was on one scripture, and I don't remember what it was. I can barely remember what I'm doing this morning, you know. So I can't remember what it was. But his sermon was based on this one scripture, and this one scripture was not correct. It did not line up with the King James. So anyhow, what happened with that verse? This is what happened. In the King James Bible, that verse lifted up God. In the NIV, it lifted up man. Now, is there a difference in that? Yes, tremendously. But that's how you tear down the foundation. And the sad thing is that they claim to be preaching the gospel. But in doing so, at the same time, they're tearing down the very foundations, the belief that we believe in, everything that we do believe is according to this book. And if you tear down what's in the book, what God has given us, then what is your faith based on? It's not based on truth. And that's what's happening all around the globe today. It's being torn down. That's why Christians have so much doubt today. So much doubt in their salvation. Folks, once you're saved, you're saved. God has the power to save you. He has the power to keep you. Satan himself can't pull you out of God's hands. When you're saved, you're born again. That's for keeps. Another problem is, well, before we get to that, and get back to the TV and the radio, the TV, television. When your children are watching television or you're watching television, all the things that's portrayed out on the television today, I've got one at my house, and you turn it on, and I'm sorry, but you can't hardly find a channel that you can really watch that has any type of programming that is good for you. It's all negative. It's all against the things of God. Matter of fact, most of your regular television now is all about homosexuality, isn't it? Everything on there. It just seems like every program that comes on, they're pushing the gay agenda. Well, is that not against God? Sure it is. So why am I going to let my children watch that? You say, well, it doesn't matter. They know the truth. No, it still matters. It still matters. Because you're still programming your computer. You're still putting that in. Let me tell you why that matters so much. How do the Democrats function? What is their big goal? What do the Democrats do more than anybody you've ever seen? Openly lie. They'll lie, right? They'll stand on national television, being recorded, being filmed, and tell you a bold-faced lie. They know they're lying. You know they're lying. The whole world knows they're lying. But they'll do it again next week. And they'll do it again next week, and the next week, and the next week. They will lie so much that they'll actually begin to believe it themselves. And that is exactly how they play things out. You go back through the history of the Democrat. If you're a Democrat, I'm sorry for you. But you look at the way they play things out. It's just one big lie. And they continuously do that to the point to where they try to get you to believe the lie. They want to get you involved in their sin. That's what the television does. How about the radio? You say, well, radio, there's nothing wrong with radio. It depends on what you're listening to. You got the radio on the wrong stuff, and you're feeding garbage into your brain. You say, yeah, but I don't agree with that, but you're listening to it. And if you listen to it long enough, you begin to believe part of those lies that you're hearing. Because that's all it is lies. You move on. How about school? I can't see any problem with the schools today, can you? Lord have mercy. Look at our colleges. You think they would be a little more advanced, right? Look at our colleges. And what are they against? God. God. They're all against God. Tearing down the foundations, the colleges that were based by preachers. Preachers started the colleges. Are now trying to destroy anything to do with God. They want it thrown out. They don't want it in their lives. Well, you know the way I see it, it might not be long. They might just get that. Because the way I'm looking at things, if the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place, they'll get what they want, won't they? They're going to find out they don't really want it, but they think they do. How about social media? You think social media has anything to do with tearing down your faith? I mean, come on. Everything that they put on there, it's constantly. You say, well, I see some good stuff. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I hear some good stuff on the radio. Every once in a blue moon, you'll see something good on television. But it's rare, isn't it? So all of this stuff throughout the entire day, all of these things are constantly bombarding us. And then we can't figure out why we have faith issues. We can't believe or trust anything in your society anymore. You certainly can't trust the government. You can't trust the news media. You never know when they're reporting the news. You never know if it's something they made up or if it's something that's true. You just never know anymore. You don't have any idea. You got to guess. So if you're not there to actually see the event yourself, you really don't know for sure if it's true, do you? It's the same way with the social media. You don't know what's true, what's not true anymore. They post whatever they want to. They use computers to make things look however they want to make them look. So with all that being said, everything that we know in our lives today, even our food, it's not real. You know, most of the food you consume is counterfeit. It's not real food. It's processed. It's just a big lie. So everything in our lives, daily, we live through a bunch of lies, don't we? So when it comes to trusting God, that's the one thing that you can put your trust in. But we're lied to so much. Everything is so fake and so phony. It's even to the point that we're not even sure about our God. Folks, God's real. And if you will draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. If you get in His Word and read and study and get the Lord in your life. Now, you said, well, I come to church on Sundays and it hurts my eyes to read on Mondays. Get something bigger to read with. I saw a big print Bible the other day. The letters looked like they were that big. I could see it without my glasses. I mean, come on. We need to stop making excuses. Just do away with all the excuses and get into serving God. And all those doubts will go away. And it doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter what they pertain to. I don't think there's a Christian in this room that hasn't had a doubt at one time or another. Man, is there really a God? Am I really going to heaven? Folks, yes, there's really a God. And yes, we're really going to heaven. Maybe sooner than we think. But the false, all this falsehood and the attitude that we have towards Christ, when we begin to doubt ourselves, like I said earlier, when we start to doubt our salvation, then we're going to stop spreading the gospel. And what does the devil want? He wants to stop spreading the gospel. If he can tear down the churches, folks, you can go to church after church after church, and the gospel's not being taught. The gospel's not being preached. They're preaching about how good you are and how good you can feel, how good your life can be. That's not what I read in my Bible. When I see life out here, I see it to be a big lie, isn't it? When we read our Bible, what does the Bible uplift? Jesus. It's all about Christ. The Bible teaches me that the best thing about me is nothing but filthy rags, the best that I have. So why are we going to sit here and lift ourselves up? It's about lifting up God, His holiness. The only righteousness in me is what I have in Christ. That's where all my righteousness comes from. And it's the same way with you. So, you know, playing music that uplifts you, makes you feel good, doesn't belong in here. When we're playing music in here, our music is supposed to be doing what? Praising our God, uplifting Christ. That's what our music's about. All these people that want to be movie stars, they need to go to Hollywood. In here, we're trying to uplift Christ. Folks, that's why we don't clap. I know these Baptists, we're kind of odd, and we're just old folks, and we just all backwards because we don't clap. I'll tell you why we don't clap. When a young lady gets up here and sings her heart out and just lifts up the name of the Lord Jesus, we say amen. Why? Because we're giving God the glory for it. We're giving God the praise for it. We're not praising the young lady. We thank God that she can sing, but it's because of God giving her that talent that she can do that. So we want to uplift the Lord. If you just want all the praise and all the glory, go to Hollywood. That's where you'll get it. You see what I'm saying? There's just so much difference in truth, reality, and all the lies that the world lives in. I wanted to go over a few verses with you. Referring to doubt, let me read a verse to you, Genesis 6:5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So when I was speaking earlier about what we think, we start thinking, and we start thinking that we're not saved. What does it just say about our thoughts? Our thoughts aren't where they ought to be, are they? So we need to stop thinking about that and go back to where it all started. Let me just ask you a quick question. Your faith, is it your salvation? Is it a prayer-based salvation, or is it a faith-based salvation? Because there's a huge difference. You know, a prayer is like a sacrament. You understand that? A lot of people think they need to say a little prayer and get saved. No, 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 no. That's not what the Bible teaches. Nowhere in the Bible are you going to read that. Our salvation comes from what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you to open your Bibles to Romans 10. Let's look at what it says in the book of Romans. Romans 10, look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Look at verse 9. We've been through these verses, I know, numerous times. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do we get saved? We believe with the heart. We believe, and then we confess. So why do we say that little prayer? Because we believe, and now we're going to confess it. We're going to confess what we believe. Folks, we have this morning, in just a little bit when the preaching starts, and we go to give an invitation. If there's somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus, and they're convicted, and they stand up to walk that aisle to come down here to pray and ask Christ into their life. Do you understand when that person stood up, he's saved? You understand that? When he stood up, what did he say? Him or her? What did they do? When they stood up, they said in their heart, I need Christ. They know that they're a sinner at that point. They've come to understand that they're a sinner. And they know that they need Jesus. They believed in their heart. Now what are they going to do? They're going to walk down that aisle. And why is it so important that we walk down that aisle? Let me tell you why it's so important. God said, thou shalt not be ashamed, right? We're not supposed to be ashamed of our God. So he walked down that aisle. That's showing us you're not ashamed of what you believe in. And then you come down to this altar down here and you pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And when you're praying, what are you doing? You're repenting, aren't you? Now, there's so much argument about repentance as well. Folks, man makes things difficult. God made them simple. And I guess that's why it works out for me, because I'm simple-minded. I'm as simple as it gets. If you want to get complicated and all that, don't come to me, because I can't help you. We was talking about, there were some ladies early this morning, we was talking about getting shingles, because my wife had shingles, got shingles. And I said, well, I've never had them. I said, you know, she said, the doctor said, they told her that she could get them again. But he didn't tell her that until she already got it again, because he didn't want to disappoint her. I said, well, he just wanted you to be disconnected. That's where I live, disconnected. So I don't have all those kind of problems. But anyhow, when that person walks down that aisle right there, they're not ashamed of Christ. And when they come down here, they repent. So what does repent mean? There's so many different things. People say, well, you got to repent every day. You got to repent. No. Repent is simple. You turn from whatever it is that you believe in. You don't believe in God, or you believe in the devil, or whatever it is. You believe in Catholics, Bible. I don't know, whatever, Jehovah's Witness, it don't matter. Whatever it is that you believe in. You repent. You turn from that to Christ. This is what I believe. I'm repenting of this, and I'm accepting this. That is repentance. That's repentance. Turning from. And some of you give me that wide-eyed look. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. A couple of things. I got them written down here if I can find them. Look, John 3:9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? That's an example of God, what? Repenting, turning from something. It's the same thing that we do. I have Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from what you're believing unto the Lord. So, folks, you don't have to be all messed up about your salvation. You don't have to be doubting your faith. Do you believe it? If you believe it and you've repented, you turned from what you did believe, and you turn to repentance, and you've accepted Christ, then you're saved. You believed in thy heart, and you confessed with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. Folks, that's how we get saved. And it's simple. Go back to Romans, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's why we walk that aisle. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's me. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord. Folks, that's how we get saved. We believe. We repent. We call on Christ. It's simple. So don't let the devil sit up here on your shoulder and tell you otherwise. That's the thoughts. That's human thoughts. That's our manly thought, our sin-cursed thoughts, telling us different, trying to tear down the foundation of Christ. Folks, you have an eternal security. It's yours. It's yours for the keeping. Nobody can take that away from you. Are you ever going to sin again? Sure you are. Are we supposed to be sorry for our sins? Yes, we are. Are we supposed to turn from our sin? Sure, we're supposed to turn from our sin. But if some people take repentance to the place that they think if they die today and didn't get a chance to pray for this sin right here, that they're going to hell. That ain't what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. All that takes is right back to the thief on the cross. He didn't get time to work out his salvation, did he? Folks, there's just so much in the world that's not true. So much in religion today that's not true. You can go to, ask yourself, why are there so many different types of churches? What's the difference from this church to this church to this church to this church? The difference is what they believe. That's the difference. But we got one God. We got one salvation. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's free. It's a free gift. It's yours for the keeping. Nobody can take it. You can't lose it. If you could lose it, I'd have lost mine a long time ago. Folks, we're all sinners. The difference, there's only two types of sinners in this room. We're all sinners, every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have saved sinners, and you have lost sinners. And I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved by His mercy. I am saved. I am a saved sinner. So if you're not saved, you're a lost sinner. But we're all sinners. So don't try to lift yourself above somebody else. We're all sinners. I'm just saved by grace. So folks, salvation is a pretty simple thing. Don't let the world muddy up the waters. Don't let them take away your glory. Don't let them steal your thunder. All they're trying to do, the devil is trying to put you down to where you won't raise up the name of Christ. And you need to stand up. What did the book of Jude tell us to do? To what? Earnestly contend for the faith. Folks, we've got to fight for it. So if you're having problems in your salvation, contend for the faith. Get into the scriptures and read it and study it. Work out your salvation. If you get in here and read, God will talk to you. He'll bless you. He'll open your eyes to the truth. Whatever that problem is, wherever it lies, He'll help you get it worked out, get it taken care of. We're out of time. So what's our Sunday school count? 795. We're holding pretty good there. All right, we're going to take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching services.